I just wanted to take a couple of seconds to let you know that I'm really thankful that you joined this podcast. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe, please share, let others know about it. If you have any questions, if you have any requests, well, feel free to comment on the section below and I'd be happy to jump in on your request. Well, now enjoy the podcast. Thank you for listening. You are awesome. I haven't done it for a while. Wow. Hey, Travel Tips Podcast listeners, this is Kai speaking. Thank you for joining. I'm here today with Claire Summers. Mm-hmm. Is it Summer or Summers?
Summers.
I wasn't sure. I just wanted to make sure. Hi, Claire. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
We wanted to talk about your experience with us. You went on a tour with us today. But first, I wanted to ask you if you would like to introduce yourself. Yeah, let's start right away with it.
Cool. My name's Claire, obviously.
Hi, Claire.
Hello. I am a full-time travel writer, travel blogger, digital nomad, I suppose.
There are so many names you
many,
can...
Many titles, many hats, depending on what day it is.
Since when are you... depending on the day.
What day of the week is. I have been traveling for 2 years. Actually, 2 years today. 2 years today. It's my travel
Your anniversary.
Yeah,
happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yeah, 2 years ago, I hopped on a plane to Guatemala. So yeah, I've been hopping around Latin America mostly for the last 2 years, and finally settling a little bit here in Mexico because I'm writing a book, a guide to being a digital nomad. Actually, so
That's
that was
great.
My reason for kind of settling here in Mexico for a little while, and it's a beautiful place.
It is, indeed. I totally agree, since 7 years. a book, do you already have a release, or is it already...
So I actually have two in the pipeline. I have one that will be out at the end of this month, which is The Solo Girl's Guide to Traveling Without Fear.
Sounds very reasonable. I mean, you as a girl traveling solo.
Yes, so I've been, obviously, like, I lived in Bogota in Colombia for a few months on my own. I've lived in places where... You know, they tell women that we shouldn't go, definitely not go on our own.
I did it anyway.
I never actually wanted to come to Mexico because I had in my head that it was a scary place to go and that it was unsafe.
Oh, instead you went to Bogota.
No. I also didn't want to go to Colombia, but I got offered a job there. That's why I ended up in Colombia.
I see.
But the same, the Colombia and in Mexico were the two countries I didn't want to go to because I was scared.
And you were scared because of the news?
Yeah, I think
what you heard,
I mean,
or what
obviously
other...
you can probably tell by my accent, I'm from the UK. And in the UK, like, all we really know of, especially Mexico and Colombia, is drugs.
Yeah.
And kidnappings. And yeah, they're seen as unsafe places, whereas actually the places like Guatemala, which is probably more unsafe.
Yeah.
Like generally. Like, we don't really hear very much about those countries.
Because they're not touristy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I didn't have the same preconceptions that I did about, like, you know, I'm going to go to Mexico and get kidnapped by the cartel or something.
That's how a movie starts.
Exactly. But that's, you know, they're the social references that we have. So it wasn't until I got to Guatemala and then I was living with a Mexican, a girl from Mexico, and she was like, no. And everyone who came through the hostel was like, they'd come from Mexico.
Yeah.
Mexico's amazing, you've got to go here. And I was like, oh, you didn't get shot? No one kidnapped you? This is interesting.
So by the end of the month, that book will be released?
Yeah, that book will be released, and then the next one hopefully will be out next month, but I don't know. It's becoming a bit more difficult.
Maybe next month we have another podcast together, and then we can talk about that. I will make sure that, pass me the link. And I will make sure that in the description of the podcast, we will find more information about that book. I'm still waiting for, or I'm still expecting a signed version. Will it be a digital version, or do we have actually both? Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so you're a travel writer. That's actually how we... No, not that.
No.
We got introduced by Rodrigo.
We did.
If you are a frequent listener to that podcast, you already know Rodrigo. our friend, no, friend in common.
Yes.
He introduced us, mm-hmm. he and Pleur de Carmen, and we're working together on a project, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
And that's how we met. And, Claire is working a bit for Kai Tours. She's helping us with the content, with some of the SEO. And, the first thing I did was sending her on a tour. Where did you go?
So I went to Chichen Itza.
Chichen Itza.
Yep.
And I wanted to take the chance to get, it says a lot when I'm talking about the tours Kai Tours is doing, but it says even more, and that's what I'm really interested in, when somebody else is talking about it. So, Claire, how was your day?
I started very early.
Yes,
which is very difficult for me, considering I crawl out of bed at 8 a.m. most mornings. It was an early start. However, when they opened the door to the van and there was pillows and blankets in there, that made me very happy.
Great, I'm happy to hear that. That's the idea.
It was a very warm welcome. So I was able to nap most of the way there, so it was totally fine. So I've been to Chichen Itza before, it's not my first time. But the first time we got there, we went with friends, we got there really late, it was really stressful, we got ripped off, ended up paying like 200 or 300 pesos each extra for some VIP car, I don't even know.
Which point? Just to warn others.
So it's when you come through the last toll, mm-hmm. just before you get to Chichen Itza, there's some guys who will flag you down and say free map. Now I'm guessing that because you are supposed to pay like 200 pesos extra for this parking thing,
mm-hmm.
but only one person should pay that. And there was three of us in the car and he charged each of us and probably pocketed the money. Now I knew this was going on, but I was so tired and so angry at the time because we were there so late because my friends were wanted to go to a vegan cafe and like...
You rented your own car and
We rented a car. We didn't know about the toll road, so we went the other way. So it took hours. I was just getting super annoyed with the guys I was with, and we were really late. So then when Carlos was like, oh, let's get this special ticket, I was like, just do whatever you want. So then we get in there and we realise that we spent all this extra money, and then we only have like an hour to walk around the park because it's about to close.
You were that late.
Yeah, so I was not a happy bunny. And then we got in there and obviously we didn't have a tour guide, and I now know that we missed out the majority of the site.
I see.
We didn't even see it because it didn't even, when I went on the tour on Sunday, I realized that. I was like, oh.
There's more.
We didn't see any of this. And like, actually that was some of the most interesting stuff that we stayed for a very long time. But yeah, so the first time was really stressful. Cost us quite a lot of money in petrol, tolls, everything, and then we didn't have a guide, so it just fell a little bit flat for me. I was like, meh, Chichen Itza, meh. So going this time, I was really keen to experience how it is going on a tour. I'm not a group tour person. You will not catch me sat on a big bus full of people being herded around, like, unless I'm with my mother who loves stuff like that.
Yes.
She doesn't love, she'd actually prefer a private tour, but she's more inclined to go on a group tour. Me, no, I don't. It's just not my thing.
People guy. I don't like other people. It sounds.
I don't like other people infringing on my experience. And there's always someone who's asking too many questions. You're being rushed, you can't finish. It's just not me. I'd rather go and amble around somewhere on my own and try and find my way there on a bus I like the adventure. However, I feel like doing something like Chichen Itza, if you don't have a tour guide who can explain what these mounds of rubble mean, it's kind of a bit pointless. You're just like, okay, it's some nice, it's a nice pyramid. Okay, here's some more bricks. Okay, good.
Actually, they're really nice reconstructed, the way the archaeological work was done there.
Chichen Itza is a very good example, but we also went to Ekbalam.
Yes.
And obviously, you kind of notice that things are a little bit weird.
Yeah.
There, that it's like a little
too
bit
good to be true.
You're like, this is doesn't really make sense. Why is this round and everything else is square? Yeah. And so again, having a guide who's explaining what happened, and like, it just, it adds a whole different layer to it.
Yeah.
For me. And we were there, we were a small group. There was only five of us plus the guide. And we got there early, so we were able to, I mean, I already
You remember the time you arrived?
We arrived just before 8 o'clock. So Great. There was already starting to be a bit of a queue there.
Yes.
However, we were able to get in, and people want the Instagram picture with Chichen Itza without all the people in it.
Yeah.
I mean, the one good thing about getting there so late last time is that I got some really good pictures.
Because you were so late. Nobody.
There was no one else there.
They were dragging you out. It's time to go. No.
Exactly. So I got some good pictures. So I wasn't too bothered about that. I was more interested in the history and that kind of stuff. And luckily, the group that I was with, the family I was with, they'd been there before as well.
Yes, they did that tour 2 years ago with us, the very same tour. It's funny.
Which says a lot that they wanted to do it again, but they really wanted to learn about the history. So we actually hardly spent any time at the main at the main pyramid. We were around the back, like with everything else, and like Juan, our guide just knew so much stuff. So we got so much information. And I mean, I really appreciated that. I really enjoyed the history lesson. I'm guessing if a family is not so interested in
that's
history,
a different, yeah.
we wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't spend so much time there. I think that's the great thing about having a private tour rather than a generic big tour where you're just getting a spiel. You're getting a script from the tour guide who's catering to like 20 people's needs.
Have you seen those where the guy is wearing a microphone and people are running behind him with earphones?
No.
I have seen those and I was like, what the fuck is going on? I could not do that. Because that guy, he's not even paying attention to the people behind him. He's just walking there and yelling in his microphone.
Yeah.
This is scary to me. I mean,
it's very unpersonal. It's
yes, that's what I mean. With scary, you're just walking behind. I mean, you don't even need that guy anymore if you're just listening to a tape.
Honestly, like, if you really want to do Chichen Itza on the cheap and you don't want to pay for a guide, you can get an app on your phone.
There are apps there. Exactly.
I mean, you're going to get a generic thing, but to me, there's not really much difference, and at least with the generic app, you're not going to look like a fool walking around.
And it's more personalised since you can stop the ad when you want.
But I mean, to be honest, coming up from Playa del Carmen, if you really wanted to go to Chichen Itza on your own, I would not recommend coming up from Playa. I'd recommend going and staying in Valladolid or staying in Merida.
Yeah.
Like, because it's just...
How long did it take from Playa del Carmen to get to Chichen Itza? Of course, that's a very common...
With you?
Yes.
Less than 2 hours. And when we drove in the car, we didn't go on the toll road because we didn't know about it. It took...
Then it's a long run.
I think it took nearly 4 hours.
Wow.
I think... Carlos was driving and he was being super slow.
No, but that's why we go over the toll road. It is actually doable within or less than 2 hours.
The great thing about the toll road is it's just a straight line with no speed bumps. So you can get some good sleep in those 2 hours because you're not interrupted.
I agree. Also reason for the pillows and the blankets. It's very actually a boring road.
Yeah,
I feel sorry for the driver because
it's just a straight road.
Exactly.
But
yeah, sorry, I interrupted you. No. So Juan was giving you a lot of information.
Yeah, so we got a ton of information. So we actually stayed a longer time in Chichen Itza than what he normally does because they were
so interested.
Yeah. And then after Chichen Itza, we did something that you don't normally do. I don't think it's not so normal to do it. Is a day tour to Ekbalam as well?
It's an add-on. We offer that. It's totally out of the time. Yeah. It's manageable. We can add it to the tour, but it's not the common tour we do.
So I think generally with the tours that go to Chichen Itza, they all go to
the cenote,
IKEA. Like. Just check it out. If before you book a tour that's going to take you there, like seriously, you do not want to go there.
It's funny. We get requests.
Like,
people want to go.
Like, it's just honestly, just if you wonder what we're talking about, just Google photographs of this place because
do your research.
Like, can't even move in there. You can't even move in there for people because the coach, like everyone goes there. And I mean, we went. It's beautiful, but we got there at like is meant to close at 6 o'clock. We got there at 5:45. They let us in.
Yes, there was no.
And then they actually stayed open till maybe like 6:30. So when we were in there, there was no one in.
Yeah.
But I mean, all of those bodies all day going in there. Like, this is not a Sonata you really want to go to.
No, that's a tourist stew.
Like, trust me, you don't want to go there. So what I like about if we did, you know, if we had done the Sonata option, you take us to a different,
yes,
to one of the, like, I mean, there's so many Sonatas here. There's so many beautiful Sonatas.
Let me quickly tell you why so many tour operators go to Ikil. It is a pretty scenic view once you're down there. Plus, they have really good facilities.
The car park.
They can, exactly. They can just manage so many people.
Yeah.
Their kitchen is, let's say, relatively good. The food is not bad. And they just can get through with so many people at the time.
Absolutely.
The bathrooms are clean. There's nothing bad I can say about Ikil, except the fact that there are hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing. And that's the reason why so many people or so many tour operators go there.
I mean, there's not many Sonatas that have those facilities.
Exactly.
Like,
you
the changing rooms, showers,
exactly,
everything. And there's a huge car park for the coaches.
Oh, they're fitting 30 to 40, I estimate, of those huge coaches out there in the parking lot. That's always my point or my argument when people ask me, why don't you want to go there? And say, they're fitting 40 of those coaches out there. Do you really want to be coach number 39?
You have to queue up to get into the Sonata.
Yes. In the worst case, we're always trying. I mean, when people are insisting, we bring them there, and many times we're actually ahead of the masses, so
yeah,
it's kind of manageable. But for the rest, it's a very generic, a very generic, and there's a lot of concrete, a lot of things already adjusted. It's just not the type of a cenote as you would expect, or as I, as a tour operator, want my guests to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I'm sorry, I was interrupting.
So we didn't go to the Sonata, we went to Ekbalam instead, which I was really happy about because I had not been there and I wanted to go.
Did you like it?
I did, I really liked it. It's small, and it's very interesting, the restoration.
Yeah, they did.
It amused me because it's so typical of this area, because I mean, to us as outsiders, we see these ruins and we think, you know, it's magical, and it's like, wow,
yes,
these incredible sites, like, how did they do this? And there's so much like interest and mystery, but for the local people, they've always been there.
Yes.
They're just piles of, like, they're their history, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's not quite so much, I don't know, wonder. And so when they were told, like, when they were restoring it, they were just rebuilding it, like, oh, maybe this would look nice, let's do it like this, rather than necessarily, you know, like, painstakingly restoring it to as
obviously
how it was.
There's a commercial interest behind that as well, to get
of
it
course.
Up as, let's say, quick as possible.
Yeah.
Considering that it is archaeological excavation, it's probably not in the best way done,
yeah,
or in the most professional way. But on the other hand, it gives you a good understanding or an idea, let's say like that,
yeah,
of what it could have been like.
Yeah.
Especially Ekbalam and Koba as well, those were structures which they found totally buried in earth and ground. It was totally grown over with plants, trees, so it's very hard to actually find the structure underneath in good shape, obviously. But yeah, go ahead.
So Ekbalam,
you enjoyed it anyway.
For me, Ekbalam and Koba are my favorite ruins.
Yes,
here.
Because you can climb them.
You
You're mentioning
climb,
now
yeah,
by coincidence, the two you can climb, or is
yeah,
that
a fact? I think because you can climb them, like, and come and kind of being able to climb up the towers and to see the view is amazing. And also, I don't know, it gives you, it's a much rawer experience. I love the fact in Koba that you can cycle around there.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're kind of on an adventure.
Yes.
And I feel like Ekbalam, it's kind of the same. You can climb on stuff, you're a lot freer.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's small, it's not huge, it's not like, it's not overwhelming.
You remember for Chichen Itza and for Ekbalam, how much time did you spend on each site?
I think we spent over 2 hours in Chichen Itza, maybe 2.5.
Yeah.
Even, it could even be close to 3 hours.
We usually stay at least two, if not.
Yeah, it was definitely longer.
An average would be 2.5, so I estimate.
I think it's probably about 3, but Ekbalam maybe an hour. I mean, yeah. We were quite hot as well.
It's the middle of the day.
Not everyone wanted to climb up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like a mountain goat. I kind of...
You went up there.
I ran up there. Got someone to take my Instagram picture and then...
I see. Do you already have it up there? Just asking? You know,
no, I haven't.
What's your Instagram account, if anybody's interested?
It's at Claire's Itchy Feet. It will be up in the next few weeks.
Claire's Itchy Feet.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I already followed you, so anyway. Okay, anything else about the tour? What did you do after Ekbalam?
And then after we went to Valladolid, I'd been there before, we went and had lunch, which was really nice.
How was the food?
It was good.
Yeah, did you go to Las Campanas, at the corner?
Yes, we did.
Okay, great.
It was nice that we had a choice as well, as like, where would you like to eat?
A la carte. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we... There is the cenote where we go usually, they have a buffet. And I'm not a huge fan, to be honest, I'm not a fan of buffet. But they are doing a great job there. They have so much to choose from. And the food is so good there. It's the only buffet we have in all our tours, and I really enjoy going there. I always say to myself, you should not eat that third plate. And I always end up eating that third plate. It's so delicious there. Anyway, Valladolid.
We went to Valladolid, and then we went to one of the, like, what's the word? One of the shops, like that more artisan, kind of locally produced stuff. And again, Juan took us around the shop and introduced us to some of the different textiles and different like locally produced products.
Yeah.
And that was really nice because, I mean, he clearly has a relationship with the shopkeepers as well. And it was like, you don't have to buy anything.
Yeah.
Like they knew, you know, we were just going in to kind of have a tour around and learn about
we
stuff.
We do not and get any commissions that.
It was very, you know, some like more often than not, like when you're doing tours, you kind of get ushered into a shop. And
yes.
Like, you know,
no, we don't do that.
Like, it didn't feel like that at all. And he was very clear. He's like, you know, I come in here all the time. You don't have to buy anything. Like they're happy that, like, for us,
let me stress that for us, the most important thing is that you are having a good time. And we are also not upselling anything.
Yeah.
We do not drag you into shops where there is a commission made. There are tours out there. They're actually making their money not at the ticket when you buy the tour. They're making their money on the upsell during the tour. So just want to make sure that everybody who's listening, we do not do that.
Yeah.
So if you ask us, we want to go shopping. We are more than happy to bring you to places where we know that people enjoy it.
Yeah.
But we will not drag you into shops in order to get a commission or whatever.
No, I mean, it was definitely optional, but we were all really interested. It was nice. Like, I especially love looking at all the clothes.
Yes. That's beautiful in Valladolid and Merida as well.
Yeah.
Those are the cities.
In this particular one, they had kind of things from different regions.
Yes.
So that was cool. And then everyone else went into the cathedral. I didn't because I needed to go in. I wanted to go and buy a blouse somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then the family ended sampling a lot of tequila in one of the shops. But they decided to do all of their gift shopping in one go in Merida, which, you know, it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
In the shops that have been here.
And by the lead.
And by the lead.
Yeah. That's right, definitely.
So they went in, got all their gift shopping done, and then we headed home. So
you came back late that day. That was exceptional. That was not typical.
Very late. They were having a lovely time with the tequila.
I understood. Yeah.
Like, now, okay, come on, it's time to leave now.
It is from Valladolid to Playa Carmen another 1.5 hours, 90 to 100 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And Juan was sending me a text, we are leaving now, and I'm like, what? This is late.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's also a typical thing for our tours. We would not push you. We would not. I mean, we're always trying to be back before it's getting dark outside. Now in the winter, it's a bit tricky though. But that was an exceptional late return.
Yeah.
I was thinking about you getting up at 5-ish. because you were the first to be picked up before even the equipment and everything. The pickup for the people was at 6:30 or 6:20.
It was at 6:30, but we got there at like maybe 6:10, and they were there waiting already, so we actually left.
Now, that's something my guides are not very happy about, but I insist that they arrive 20 minutes early. Because they always, why do we have to wait in front of the hotel? I'm like, how long does it take to change a tire? And they're like, 15, 20 minutes. Exactly. Those are the 20 minutes I always want them to be there early. They don't like it, but there is no excuse to be late in a hotel at a private tour. There is no excuse.
Yeah, I think the family weren't sure if they'd be able to get a lift to the reception because it's a big resort. So that's,
but they
were already there when we got there.
Okay, let's wrap it up. Let's summary, your expectation, how did we do, anything else you want to add to that podcast?
So my like personal recommendation, if you want to go and really enjoy Chichen Itza, is to take a private tour.
And
having done it both ways, I mean, if you're happy doing the big group tours and don't mind, but honestly, like, it's not that, I don't believe the price difference is that big if you're on a good quality group tour to taking a private tour. Quite often the prices are comparable, and the experience you have, especially if you're on vacation, I feel like it was a completely different experience for me, and it was a much more positive, a much better experience, and it's definitely changed my opinion about taking tours in general.
Okay, I'm happy to hear that.
and for me, if you're gonna do it, then I'm gonna put it out there. Like, you know, you should definitely consider taking a private tour with Kai Tours, because the attention to detail throughout the whole day was fantastic. Our guide was amazing, super, super professional. There was nothing that I could fault the entire day.
Sorry, quick question. We are now, since a month, using reusable bottles.
Yeah.
How did you perceive that? Because that's something most likely I haven't seen before.
There are some companies who I've come across, because it's something, so as a travel writer, someone who often collaborates with companies.
It's the first time that I hear that.
What I'm looking for always in a company is that they have good ethics, and that their ethics mirror mine.
Yeah.
And so, like, plastic is a big thing for me. I mean, some companies, they'll give you one plastic bottle in the morning and then expect you to reuse it.
Okay.
I've never come across one that's given me, you're the first company that's given me a metal one. But also, it wasn't just the bottles, it was like lunch came in glass containers as well, so reusable.
The sandwiches were sending.
Rather than kind of wrapping them in cellophane or plastic. So that's always important to me, that a company.
But the bottles, how did it work during the day? Did you take the bottle on the archaeological site?
Bottle, and then the bottle was just refilled every time we got back.
That experience is... that's me just not trying to get some first-hand feedback.
Yeah, no, it's... I mean, it makes much more sense. And also, the double insulated.
Yes,
yeah.
The double wall, so they do not sweat, they keep it...
Just having a bottle that's double insulated in the Caribbean, it's something that you need to do. Those plastic bottles are going to heat up. They're going to fill...
Plus they sweat. I don't like the water.
They're going to fill the water with, like, the plastic nasty chemicals, which are then going to ingest, like BPA, everything. Like you just shouldn't be drinking warm water from plastic. Like, it's really not good. Like, don't do it. And it's if you want to drink warm water, whereas if you have a double-lined metal bottle, it's going to keep the water cold, and that's what you want.
what I really enjoy about them, they do not sweat.
Yeah.
A cold water bottle, not double insulated, it sweats. You always have your fingers wet. I just don't like that. Yeah. That's weird.
Pay the extra money, get a double lined water bottle.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Great. let me check. We are probably already half an hour in again. Always time runs. Yeah, 29 minutes.
Awesome.
Thank you very much. Claire, you are right now writing a blog post about your experience as well. So if you were listening to it and you want to read about it as well, feel free to visit our blog on k.tours. You will read and hear more in the future from and about Claire. I'm very happy that she's here. Very welcome. And if you're still listening, you are awesome. If you like what we are doing, well, give it a like, a thumb up, a bubble, a heart, or whatever it's that thing float in the internet. Thank you very much, Claire.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.